Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Today's show being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. Visit online at REWfinancial.com. Our hotline is powered by Lenape Solar. Go to LenapeSolar.com. It's 1-800-795-9565. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. You can always email us at stevejones@wkok.com, Facebook Steve Jones Show, and Twitter at Steve Jones PSU. I think we covered all the bases there, didn't we?
I believe so.
Yes, we did. Now, let's get to the Steelers. Time to bring in Tim Benz, who covers the Steelers on an everyday basis. Tim, welcome to the show, and I guess the question is, do we know what our friend Mike Wallace is doing today?
He certainly is a talking point, isn't he? You know, it seems like there are different phases of the story that a little while and then get in there before the first preseason game, and that didn't happen. And once that didn't happen, it really became open-ended. I guess the next waiting game is once they break camp and get out of Latrobe. That's to be the next, imaginary deadline, if you will, because a bunch of other ones have come and gone. The real deadline is, does he not show up for regular season games? And if that's the case, you might not see him until the last six, when he would still be able to come back, play, and be eligible to mark it down as 1 year serve for the Steelers and then become a free agent. So if he just doesn't want to come out here to Latrobe and be in the dorm rooms and sleep in undersized beds and, just wants to go and practice with the team again, I guess it would be after this game on Sunday against the Colts when he would come back. And if that's not going to be a time where he comes back in, maybe we just wait before the first regular season game against Denver.
You make the Saint Vincent College experience sound so alluring.
It's not bad. I think for a training camp setup, it's pretty good, honestly. But, I think the players, there's no nightlife. Let's put it to you that way.
Tim, what does he want?
I think he wants to be set up for the rest of his life on this one contract, and he wants to make sure that he's healthy enough to get it signed. I think maybe he looks at what happened with David Johnson the other night. He's out for the season after suffering an ACL injury. He doesn't want to have to deal with that. So I think he wants to hit it really big, and I also am wondering from his point of view if he feels he can get more money elsewhere, and the Steelers won't give him Larry Fitzgerald-type money, which is what he suggested that he wants, even though he's probably not worth that at this point in his career.
Isn't Antonio Brown's situation an example to Wallace as to how to get it done?
Yeah, and at the same time, no, because I think this is actually more about Mike versus the CBA than it is Mike versus the Steelers. I think he's using whatever leverage you're valued on a contract. Could you argue that he would have gotten some nice money if he came in and restructured after signing the tender? Yeah, maybe, but then again, maybe he just didn't trust the Steelers to give him a deal because he felt like they liked Antonio better anyway. I don't know that to be sure.
You go through everything, the OTAs, mini camps, now you get the training camp. Is there now a feeling that Ben Roethlisberger has far more comfort with what he's doing in Todd Haley's offense?
Yes, I think there is a lot of that right now. I think he and Haley actually have gotten along a little bit better than people anticipated. I think he and Todd Haley have actually been only a third or fourth story here in Latrobe, and when you see him come out and go, whatever it was, 7 of 8 or something like that, while he was going through the offense for the first time in that game against Philadelphia, there's encouragement there that he's catching on, he's buying in, and what Haley is selling is something that might be worth Roethlisberger buying into. We didn't see the whole offense, obviously, in that first game against the Philadelphia Eagles last Thursday, but you saw some of the premise that Steeler fans, I think, are willing to be optimistic about. Get the ball out of Ben's hands more quickly, spread it around, rely on the run a little bit, and don't have the entire offense be about Ben taking the ball, dropping back four steps and a five-step drop, and then immediately calling off play in the middle of the play so he can scramble for his life behind an offensive line that still is a little bit porous when it comes to pass blocking.
What is Hampton's situation now, or excuse me, Harrison's situation with all this?
Harrison had arthroscopic surgery yesterday, and, you know, there's a lot of optimism being spewed out from the Steelers about when he'll be back, and perhaps even for the opener he'll be back, but that sounds hyper-optimistic to me, and the bigger deal is whether or not he can return, and he certainly won't be returning at exactly 100% after that injury at this late stage, is that he's still banged up. He has to be fresh, he has to be good, and he has to be dynamic to work in tandem with Lamar Woodley to make this defense what it is.
What have been the pluses of the Steelers camp so far?
I'd say the pluses have been that, you know, Antonio Brown looks like he's living up to the contract that he signed him for. I think a plus is that even though he didn't show it early in camp, David DeCastro, the first-round pick, looked like he was good in his first game. I think Steve McClendon stepping in for Casey Hampton, I think that's been a plus. I think some of the depth players at linebacker might be a little bit better than we initially thought. I think that's a plus. And as we pointed out, I think Roethlisberger and Haley getting along so far so good has been a plus as well.
What's the tailback situation like?
Well, that's a negative right now because everybody's hurt. Rashard Mendenhall, obviously with the ACL, is hurt still and probably won't be back until probably start the season on PUP, to be honest with you, first 6 weeks in, then be back. Then Isaac Redman, who I was a little bit more comfortable in than most people, he hurt his groin right before the first preseason game, tried to play in the first preseason game, probably wasn't a good idea. He had an MRI today. We'll see how that goes. And then after that, it gets really dicey because Jonathan Dwyer has a sprained shoulder too. John Clay out for the year with a torn quad. You're getting down to Baron Batch, who was out for the whole season last year, and Chris Rainey, who looks very dynamic as a rookie, but also kind of looks like he projected a third down kind of back. So I don't know what they're going to do at running back if Isaac Redman can't heal before the season opener.
Yeah, when I watched Chris Rainey of Florida, because Penn State played them in the Outback Bowl, that's how I projected him, as a third down kick return kind of back who could really be dynamic in that particular role. You mentioned tailback, and of course, we've talked about Mike Wallace. What gaps, in your opinion, need to be filled adequately so that the Steelers can put themselves in a spot where they're among the teams that you'd be talking about moving forward in the playoffs?
Yeah, well, a big gap right now is what's going on with Harrison. If he isn't 100% to start the year, then they're going to have to find somebody, whether it's Chris Carter, who is kind of third string, since Jason Worlds is hurt too, backing up Harrison, that same right outside linebacking spot. They need to find somebody who can aid on the pass rush. I think that's the biggest hole right now myself. And I do think they need to bolster the overall wide receiving core, maybe sign a veteran who shakes loose like they did with Jericho Cotchery last year, or have somebody, maybe an old Penn State guy, Derek Williams, or somebody else emerge as a wide receiver who can round out that core, since they occasionally do like to go four wide.
What about a guy out of Temple named Adrian Robinson, whom I thought was very, very good when I watched him in college? What kind of camp has he had?
Camp, he sort of blended in with everybody else, but he was very good, I thought, in the first preseason game, and I thought he opened some eyes. The problem is, like I said, I think a lot of other linebackers perform better than what they expected. Now, he is also helped, I think, by the fact that Sean Spence is going to be out for a little bit, the third-round pick with an ankle sprain. So he'll have more snaps to shine and show his wares and maybe make it inside or outside. Any guy that they pick from these last three or four linebackers is going to have to, A, be very good on special teams, and B, flex between inside and outside. But anybody that can do anything at the outside linebacker position right now, I think Mike Tomlin, Keith Butler, Dick LeBeau, they're going to look at and say, maybe we give this guy a shot, because they need numbers there, and they need to find a diamond in the rough like they had with Harrison in the first place, if Harrison is going to be out to start the year, or like I said before, if he's not 100%, because you have to be dynamic at that position in this defense, and he was so injured at times last year, he wasn't.
You mentioned in a previous answer David DeCastro, the first-round pick out of Stanford, whose job it was to block for the Tyler Gaffneys of the world and protect the Andrew Lux of the world. It's an interesting mix in that offensive line between some experience and some youth. How's that blended together?
It's coming. It didn't look that way on Thursday night against the Eagles, because Mike Adams, who's one of the guys they took early in the draft this year as well in the second round, the left tackle, he got beaten twice one-on-one in pass-blocking situations and gave up sacks before he got hurt himself, and he hasn't practiced since with an MCL sprain. Now, he was run-blocking a lot better than what we're used to seeing out of the left tackle position. Max Starks came back. That's the experience you're talking about. Right before camp, he signed. In fact, he's off the PUP list now and will be eligible to practice after those new rules evaporate. So look for him to maybe play in that third preseason game or the fourth. Trey Essex is still here, again, talking about some veteran leadership. And heck, at this point, after starting for so much, Marquise Pouncey could be called a veteran in his third year. But there is some newness to another guy, and that's Willie Colon, who's been on the team for a long time now, but he's moving from right tackle to left guard. He's done very well there, but again, he got injured in camp and had a left ankle sprain. So when he plays against the Colts, it'll be his first game action at guard in quite some time. And at right tackle, Marcus Gilbert got a lot of snaps under his belt for a rookie last year. So you're right about that. You look at some numbers youth-wise and say, well, they're awful young. Then you look at the amount of snaps that they have, and maybe they are more veteran than what they appear to be. But then you've got guys like Adams, who could potentially start a left tackle, DeCastro starting at right guard, and those are two very, very new guys trying to protect a $100 million quarterback that likes to hold on to the ball and move around within the pocket a bunch. So they're looking at the high end, Steve, is what they're doing. They're saying hopefully the talent evolves and moves beyond its greenness by the time the season really gets going and they upgrade the line from what they had before.
Tim, it's always an absolute pleasure. We appreciate the information very much and your insight.
All right, thanks a lot for having me on. It's good talking to you again, as always.
All right, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. To the email we go, and the email address again is stevejones@wkok.com. And this one actually deals with Penn State. We try to get all them on that we get. And so if we happen to get one along the way, we pass along to you. This one's on the culture of Penn State from Joe, class of 80. Steve, all your points are excellent. My only question is, how do we get the media and the rest of the country to understand the points that you are making? Shouldn't the president or the board or some PR firm actually be doing this? It has just boggled my mind that none of this has occurred. Maybe it will somewhere down the road. If so, it better be before nothing is left of our university. Look, right now we're at a stage where they're trying to take care of certain things, Joe. And I know that I've been the one that's been out on the speaking trail, and I've already made several speaking stops, and I have two more to make next week. I really have come up with my own message, my own way of doing things. I do know that I've had a brief conversation with Rodney Erickson about it.
And I've had two conversations with Dave Joyner about it. And I know Dave was very, you know, very supportive of what I've talked about. I also know that as the person who is the labeled, for better or worse, the voice of Penn State sports or whatever, that I know I have to go out there and I have to talk. And I know I have to go out there and I have to meet the alumni. I know I have to go out there and I have to meet the Nittany Lion Club members. It's part of the territory and it's part of the job. I also know I'm put in a position that is not probably no other announcer in the country has to be in at this particular time. But I also decided to not postpone or cancel anything because I didn't think that was right to the people who want to come out to such events. And I also think that they have a right to vent and talk about it. And then I will talk about some of the great things I see because I think there's so many things here at Penn State that I personally feel good about. So when I talk about it, it's genuine from the heart. Will Dr. Erickson come out and talk about some of those points? I mean, that'll be his decision to make at a certain point. But as he pointed out to me, he says it's unbelievable how much is on his plate right now. And the same thing with Dave Joyner. There's a lot on his plate right now. And so they have certain things to take care of. I'm the one that's always gone out at this time of the year anyway, whether it's to Harrisburg or Pittsburgh or wherever it happened to be, Philadelphia, and so forth, and has talked to the alumni and the Nittany Lion Club members about Penn State football, especially at this time of the year, Penn State athletics. So I decided that I wasn't going to bypass any of that. And in my decision to not bypass it, because I thought it was wrong not to do business as usual, especially with games coming up and people wanting to know what's happening in camp and so forth, that at the same time I knew I was going to be faced with questions along the way, and how would I handle those questions? And of course, in doing this show, these are some of the things that I've talked about in the speaking trail that I talk about in this show because these are things that I believe. So I have to go with my gut as to how to handle it. I have to go with my instincts as to how to handle it. And for better or worse, this is how I've handled it. Nobody has told me how to handle anything. I've received literally zero advice. The best answer I can give you. I hope that I answered his question on email there. Our number 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565 is our number if you'd like to jump in. And the Lenape Solar Hotline. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Rick is one incredible class act. And by the way, our personal thanks, by the way, to our good friends Brewers Outlet. They're with us the rest of the year. We're thrilled about that. They're our Friday sponsor.
You know, I was thinking as we were listening to the update. I went to training camp, it was like 2 or 3 years ago. It was one of the times Sepulveda was injured for the year, the punter. And there was somebody that had a sign that said, I can punt the ball 50 yards, just give me a shot. I'm wondering how many running backs are making their way out now to Western PA going, I can run a 4-4, just give me a shot.
Well, I mean, they have a big issue there because you're looking about at a team and a style of play that has emphasized running the football for a long time. And I know in a pass-happy league like the National Football League, and it's a pass-happy league, right? I mean, that's the exciting part of the game. You still need to run the football. And I think what the Steelers are going to do is, it's not a question of getting somebody now, but I think what happens is that when the first cutdown happens to get it down to 60, the Steelers are going to take a long, hard look at who was put on that waiver wire. A long, hard look. Because they have trouble there right now.
Chris Rainey and Baron Batch definitely have a shot at this point if they can really look good here on
Rainey's
Sunday.
Not durable enough, Kevin. That's a bad move. Rainey is not durable enough. He is excellent as a third down and spot back, not as an every down back. He wasn't an every down back in Florida.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Pirates showing signs of life now that they've been caught by St. Louis in the wild card race. They need to win today.
And judging by the attendance, you haven't.
3-0, Garrett Jones homered, a 3-run homer off Joe Blanton in the first. The Dodgers have won the first three games of the series. And you're right, the Pirates in this critical pivotal series have not drawn.
I don't get that.
They only draw Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If it's during the week, they get whatever the season ticket base is, which is 23, 24,000. The average attendance for the Dodgers series, an absolutely critical series in this season for the Pirates, is actually lower than the average attendance for the season.
That's got to be disheartening.
Well, it goes back. I mean, look, I've gone back many, 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 many years talking about stuff like this. And I remember back in the 80s, and I've changed my opinion somewhat on this, but I said Pittsburgh's not a good baseball town.
No, you've awesome, said that. You're right.
Awesome, incredible football town. Okay? I mean, pro football town. Pittsburgh is not a good college town. I mean, the ACC is about to find out what a lot of yellow seats look like. Okay? It's a great pro football town. It is a great hockey town. And it's a really good college basketball town. But it's not a great baseball town, and it's definitely not a great college football town. You have to be playing either Ohio State, Penn State, or Notre Dame to get a crowd, or West Virginia to get a crowd at Heinz Field. Too many things, you know. Again, that part of that's the Steeler, but the PNC Park's a gorgeous park. And they draw huge crowds on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But the game during the week, people do not go there. I mean, it's a big, I mean, I know it's an afternoon game, so I don't know what the attendance is going to be like today. It's getaway day because the Dodgers are getting out of town and the Pirates are going to be going to St. Louis. But they don't draw. I don't quite get it. On Monday through Thursday, they can't get people to go. Texas, top of the ninth, leads the Yankees 10-6. I'll tell you what the Phillies are doing later on in Milwaukee, but I'm not really sure if anybody cares.
Nope.
Also, this day in sports history for August 16th, it's the day of the only fatality in the history of Major League Baseball. Ray Chapman, Cleveland Indians, hit in the head by a fastball by Carl Mays of the Yankees, 1920. Babe Ruth died on this date, 1948. He was only 53 at the time. 1954, Sports Illustrated published for the first time. It was claimed that 250,000 subscriptions had been sold before the first issue was off the presses. It was Eddie Matthews on the cover of the first one. Cal Ripken Jr., first major league hit this date, 1981. Monterrey, Mexico, 1996. Mets played the Padres. Padres won 15-10, first ever regular season game to be played outside the U.S. and Canada. 2002, Major League Baseball Players Union announced that they would begin a strike on August 30th. Also 2002, Curt Schilling of the Arizona Diamondbacks won his 20th game of the season. 2003, the Canadian Football League announced that it had taken control of the Hamilton Tiger Cats franchise under new ownership agreements that were in place. Howard Ballard owned them for years, the same owner of the Toronto Maple Leafs. 2003, Jimmy Smith, Jacksonville Jaguars, suspended for 4 games by the NFL for violating the league's substance abuse policy. And in 2003, Michael Vick, then with the Falcons, suffered a fractured right fibula in a 13-10 preseason loss to the Baltimore Ravens. That's this date in sports history. You, right now, as we speak, are looking at the waiver wire, looking for running backs.
Any running back will do at this point.
Why don't you just take one from your fantasy league team and put it on there?
They're not good enough.
Just trying to get something where you can combine your passion for fantasy league with reality.
Like I said, I was in the middle of the pack the last 2 years. My running backs didn't show up.
Who are your running backs?
Well, let's see. I moved them around 7 or 8 different times last year trying to find a running back that would actually show up and perform. But let's see. Who did I end the season with? It was... Did I have Grant or... hang on. I'm going to have to look that up because I don't remember right now. I have so many players. I remember the guys that scored points, okay? The running backs didn't. Pierre Thomas, that was one of my running backs.
What?
let's see. Reggie Bush was another one.
No.
Oh, and the guys that I did have, you know, the one Redman I had, but that was only because Mendenhall got hurt.
There are all these 1,000-yard rushers. You're picking these guys?
As I said, my running backs did not really perform well.
Do you watch the games?
Obviously not.
Wow.
Hey, but I had the Eagles defense, so.
Oh, good. Well, that's how Sarah has the Ravens defense. She gets to root for her team on the field every week.
Well, that's because someone else had the Steeler defense. I wanted it, but I was a draft pick too late.
I see. All right. Well, 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565 is our number.
I have a little World Series update for you.
Okay.
Top of the fifth. The West from Petaluma, California, lead New England from Fairfield, Connecticut by a score of 5-2. And earlier today, Japan, a winner over Caribbean. The Tokyo team wins it 7-0 over, let's see, I think that's Williamstad Curacao. I'll get it out. Give me a minute.
1-800-795-9565.
I will tell you now, I know you've never been there, but I will tell you this. It is the best place to watch baseball. I don't care if you're a major league fan, a minor league fan. If you're a baseball fan, you have to go to the Little League World Series. There's absolutely no cost for the seat. You can watch games all day long. The hot dogs are under $10, which I can't say at many stadiums anymore. I mean, you can actually, for a family of four, eat lunch, grab a seat for 4 games a day, and not spend $50.
Well, it's not that I haven't wanted to go.
No, I know. It's the timing of everything for you.
I mean, it's just the time of the year. I can't go. I mean, I have a game tonight. I have a game tomorrow. I have a game Saturday. I have a game Sunday. I have a game Monday. Then Tuesday, I'm with you to speak there. Then Wednesday, I have to speak to the Harrisburg group. Thursday's the first talk show with Bill O'Brien. Friday, I have a game. Saturday, I have a game. Sunday, guys. I can't. You see what I mean?
Well, you're going to be in Williamsport over the weekend. You got time to go to a game. You've got that Sunday trip.
Yeah, I'm going to leave right when I'm supposed to leave and go up and do the game and then drive back.
See, I thought we'd sit down, watch the game together, trade a couple of pins.
Trade pins?
Oh, that's the best part of the Little League World Series. Pin trading is the best part of it. There's a science to that.
I actually spoke to the Little League umpires once. It was at Gennetti's in downtown Williamsport, and I spoke to them, and I talked about, you know, as volunteers, how critical they are in the development of Little League Baseball. And when I was done, I left. I drove back to State College.
Oh, boy.
I had to work.
I know. The ushers at the that make sure everybody, you know, on championship day have the tickets, because you do need tickets for the championship day. They were given out already this year. Back in February, I think, is a lottery. Now, the U.S. and International Championship game, they give away tickets that day, so you don't have to be in the lottery. But when they're checking everybody to make sure they have the right pass or whatever, you will see that those guys actually create a pin of their own. And I remember it was last year, I think it was 2 years ago, they actually got together, and the pin they created, there were like four different parts of it. That was the hot pin that year. All the pin collectors were trying to get to the ushers to get each part of the pin so they had the complete pin. That was the hot pin of the year.
So, again, it's not the game that's the best part.
Oh, no, there's extracurricular stuff going on. I mean, you have the sponsor tent with all the great freebies they're going to they hand out, including pins, and then there's the game that goes on, too. Parking is free. They shuttle bus you from the parking lot to the gate. I mean, $50 you could probably eat for a family of four. I don't know. You might even be able to eat all day, depending on what you wanted. You watch games all day long. You do some pin trading. You try some of the skills competitions that the different sponsors have in their tents. It's a great, great trip for a little amount of money. And you know what? What's the saddest part is I never started going up until 1992 when they got lights. And I've missed one Little League series, one Little League season, 1 year since 92.
Well, first of all, on my part, it's not a desire not to go. I've always wanted to go. It's just I can't. I've never been able to carve out time for it. I mean, that's my issue. My issue is I have not been able to carve out any time.
I think it was Jack Edwards was the year after the strike. Was working with ESPN at the time, and that was his first time he had ever been to the Little League World Series. And I had a chance to sit down with him, and we were talking a little bit. He said, you know, I love baseball. He said, the strike just ruined it for me. He said, I lost all my faith in baseball. And then they said, we're going to send you to do the Little League World Series. I'm like, oh, man, 12-year-olds in a pressure situation like that, that is way too young. There is no way this is going to be good. He said, I wasn't even a fan of doing it. But he said, I did it. And he said, the more I watch these games, the more I realized it's baseball at its purest level. They're not playing for a paycheck. They're not playing to get to a playoff game or an all-star game or a bigger paycheck. They're playing each game as it goes. And when they lose, it's 5 minutes of looking sad and then, okay, what's next? He said, it renewed my faith. He said, it renewed my faith in baseball. And he said, I have a complete 180 when it comes to my view on Little League World Series.
Oh, Brent Musburger loves doing the Little League World Series. Brent talked to me one time. He says, you got to go up. I said, you got to go up. And I said, you go there because they send you there. I said, I don't have the time to go up and do it. I said, he says, I know, Steve, I know. But, I mean, that's how much he loved it. He was trying to twist my arm to get me to go.
If you've never been there and you're a baseball fan, you really need to find a time to get there.
I want to. It's just, again, it's the issue of finding the time to do it. Okay, that's the issue.
I talked to...
Because I've been to the fields.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to the fields, the stadium, the whole thing. I mean, I've actually, you know, I've walked on it, the whole thing. I mean, I've been there. But I just have never been there when they played a game.
I think the funniest thing that I ever saw happen was one of the kids from the Mexico team actually was trading pins. And Daniel was involved in pin trade. Well, still is, but this was one of his first years. Daniel didn't speak a lick of Spanish. The young man from the Mexico team did not speak English at all. Somehow, they worked out a pin trade with not speaking a word of each other's language. And that was the most entertaining thing to me. And I stayed out of it. I didn't make any of the decisions for him. I said, it's your pin collection. You decide what you want. And I just sat back and watched it. And it was funny, yet it was heartwarming at the same time to see two kids from completely different cultures and different countries be able to come up with something in common and work a deal there.
That's nice. That's a nice story. I like it a lot. And now at the other end of the spectrum, I talked to Dick Girardi right before I went on the air today from Saratoga, where, by the way, he's doing well. And he says, I called for a reason. I said, why? What's the reason? He says, There's somebody you need to talk to. I said, great. Puts him on and goes, hey, man, how you been? It's Taylor Battle. Taylor Battle. And he's going to be playing in Italy this year. He leaves for Italy next week. Bob in Lewisburg, thanks for joining us on the Lenape Solar Hotline. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I'll give you a little league update. I just drove by there. There's traffic everywhere, people walking across the road, ducking and diving.
And this is Thursday. This is the first day. This isn't even like what it's going to be on Championship Sunday.
I know. I drive by here every day to come to work. But the neat thing was is I had the opportunity to have lunch at one of the Williamsport establishments, and you see some of the ball players wearing their jerseys, and people come up and just talk to them like they were, you know, a major league star.
Oh, they're heroes. They're heroes in South Williamsport. There's no question.
Yeah, it was pretty neat, but state police have everything under control, but you really got to run the gauntlet of the cones trying to get through there. But, yeah, I know parking is free, but you got to find it.
Right, that's the key. You have to find it. And I know, and the odd thing is, you know, I've said I've never been to a Little League World Series game. I've actually been to Mid-Atlantic games when they're, you know, because State College was in a couple times, and it turned out I was around there. So I've actually been to the championships for that, but not Williamsport. And the odd thing is I've met probably two championship teams because I've come down to Penn State football practice before. So I've met the teams. I've just never seen the play in person. I've seen them on TV, but not actually go there.
Well, it's pretty exciting up here. And, again, a lot of the people that work in and around Williamsport really are like, oh, gosh, I got to go through all this again because it really gets crowded and sometimes things get a little hectic, especially trying to drive through there at South Williamsport. But it's a pretty neat feeling.
It is. You know what? The funny thing is, though, the Williamsport Crosscutters, they'll be the first to admit to you. This is actually a hard time of the year for them.
Especially last year with the local team involved.
With Keystone. Yeah, with Keystone. People are going to see Keystone, not see them. So,
you know. Yeah, that really brought them in last year. And we had heard some stories about, just literally that made everything swell in Williamsport because there was the local team.
Yeah, well, not an issue this year. Not an issue this year.
Hey, but, Kevin.
Yeah.
Hey, I am getting ready to get my football schedule and getting ready to get to some of these high school games. We've got an expanded area this year, so we're going to be all over the place.
Yeah, you are going to be a little bit busy with the folks doing some of the CCN coverage and that. It's going to be a busy one.
Yeah, I know we're going to be heading down to Central and Southern Columbia and Shamokin and Mount Carmel. So those are all new schools for us. That's going to be a challenge for us to do the homework so we can know what's going on.
Well, guess what? It's going to be more than a Thursday night cram session now, isn't it?
That's for sure. Hey, well, I look forward to seeing you out on the trail and be interesting following Shikellamy, see how Todd Tilford does.
Yeah, I have not been to practice yet, unfortunately. I'd like to get there this week before their first scrimmage and see how things are going. But a lot of key players back in key positions, especially quarterback. And they have an offense that can score some points, I think, this year. So it should be a fun season.
Well, I'm waiting for that touchdown, Shikellamy.
So am I.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks.
Thanks,
Good
Bob.
Job, Steve. Yep, we'll see
Thanks,
ya.
Bob. All right. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at LenapeSolar.com.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their River Fest of Savings. Choose from over 200 pre-owned vehicles at one location, and they all come with Sunbury Motors' lowest price promise. Sunbury Motors researches the market and makes sure their prices are the lowest of any like vehicle from a franchise dealer within a 50-mile radius. Pick from 15 pre-owned Escapes starting at $12,943. Choose from 13 Ford Focuses as low as $9,621. Sunbury Motors has one of the largest selections of used trucks in Central PA. Browse through over 30 F-150s, including a King Ranch 4x4 crew cab for only $13,563. SMC has 25 pre-owned Hyundais with Accents, Elantras, Sonatas, and Santa Fes in stock for immediate delivery. Sunbury Motors has every vehicle clearly marked with our lowest price promise. So hurry in to Sunbury Motors during River Festa Savings. SMC in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman says the two sides still apart, far apart, and not on the same page. The NHL's already shown that they can shut down an entire season. That's one story today.
Don't they realize if they do that, that could be the worst thing? The NHL is actually starting to become get a fan base now and a bigger fan base. That would be detrimental, to say the least.
Right. Indiana basketball recruit. James Patterson will not play at Indiana. Could not Ron Patterson, one of five members. I mean, he's one of the highly touted guys. He's going to have to transfer. He failed to meet the school's academic requirements. For Ron Patterson, gone.
Hey, good news. Just got word that the blimp is on its way past Watsontown. Hey, I know you see it often out at Beaver Stadium. We see it once a year around here, all right? It's a moment.
I've ridden in it. I have.
I did a story about it once, and they didn't have room for me.
No, I've ridden in it. It's loud. The engines are right outside the gondola, but you feel like you're floating on air. It really is kind of a cool thing. Pirates lead the Dodgers 3-1, bottom of the third inning. Texas beat the Yankees 10-6. Our thanks to Tim Benz for giving Kevin his update on Mike Wallace.
Still not happy.
And also to Jeff Lowe for giving Kevin his update on the Olympics.
That did make me happy.
And on top of that, good news, Roger, Sarah, and I have been able to raise enough money to send Kevin to Russia.
I'm there. I got my parka packed.
Unfortunately for you, it's in 2013.